Aren't you thankful the Alexanders? This mother thing, you may not believe it, but I get emotional. I wasn't a good son. But I had a good mom. If I'd have just known, I could have made it though, because Mom told me after I was grown, while I was her pastor, she says, "Melvin, you almost won. You almost had me convinced whippings did no good." Well, I'm thankful she had the intestinal fortitude, determination, to, with the grace of God, beat the devil out of me. I am always amazed when folks let me preach. But when our pastor asked me to preach at our home church, where folks even know me, what a mighty God we serve. Now, this evening is the evening of a holiday. That's often a sad time, a letdown time. One reason is because of unrealistic expectations. Another is because we see it seems like others have all their expectations met and ours aren't. In other words, we get envious of their blessings and success. A person may be a faithful churchgoer and live a morally good life, and yet harbor envy in his heart. And tonight, that's what I'm going to talk about, is overcoming envy. Something we don't talk about a lot, but it's something we sure struggle with. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 30. One of those groups of people who struggle with Mother's Day are folks like Rachel here in this portion of Scripture. Don't ever be so foolish as to make light the barren womb. When mothers or when young ladies want children, can't have them. I know we talk about, well, in Bible times it was genealogy, and it was important to them. But let me tell you, it's important today too. And it's not a light thing when the Lord closes someone's womb. And I know I've heard more than one young lady say, "I don't want kids." because she knows they're not in her future. We need to be sensitive sometimes, don't we, to others' heartaches and not get angry when they seem to be snappy and jealous of us. The Lord lets people hurt sometimes for His glory. And other times, I haven't figured out why He does it, but He knows. He's smarter than me. He knows better than me. And we just have to accept His wisdom and His will as right. In Genesis chapter 30, if you'd like to stand, I'm going to read a couple verses. Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" We don't know sometimes why things happen, do we? But I do know this, our loving God does know. And even when we don't like the outcome of some things, He still knows. And He still cares, and He's still God. Father, be with us tonight and help us to see how wicked our jealousy and envy is. Grow us into more loving, caring people, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to those who are hurting, loving to those who are in need of our love, and understanding of those who aren't exactly what we think they should be sometimes. Work in us, Lord, to be what You want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Envy is a very common sin. Almost every person has some problem with this green-eyed monster called envy. Yet it's seldom a confessed sin. We don't deal with it. We don't get rid of it. Socrates said, "Envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy is the filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison, a quicksilver, which consumeth the flesh and drieth up the bones." That doesn't sound too good, does it? Well, what is envy? Webster says it's chagrin or discontent at the excellence or good fortune of another, resentful, begrudging. The word means to look against, to eye with evil intent. Mark 7, verses 21 and 22 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, foolishness." That's some pretty bad company for evil to be in, or envy to be in, isn't it? Envy is that uncomfortable feeling that someone experiences at the advantages or good fortunes of another. And we can all be susceptible to it. I'm thankful sometimes when I'm happy for someone else's good fortune. And you know, we can be that. We can be happy when someone else is blessed and we wish it was us instead. But it ought not be that way. I'm going to give you several examples here of envy, illustrations. Rachel envied Leah because she was barren and Leah was the mother of several children here in our text. That was their problem. Rachel was prettier. Rachel was held in higher esteem. Their husband loved her more. She was treated better. And yet she was envious because the one thing she really, really wanted, Leah had and she didn't. Because Isaac had great amount of flocks and herds and servants, the Philistines envied him in Genesis 26. He'd dig wells to water his flocks. They'd fill them up. Not because they were enjoying a desert land, but because they just didn't want him blessed there. We ourselves can get envious. We're thrilled and honored with our 3-bedroom house until our best friend moves into a 4-bedroom house. We're satisfied with our 5-year-old car until one of our friends gets a brand new car. Sometimes we're envious of life situations that we have no control over. Things that we have no way to change. One of my best friends, a lifelong friend, we attended their 75th wedding anniversary. Yeah, they were in their 90s. They were old. But they had been a mother and father to me and to my family. They were my kids' Texas grandparents. Yeah, you can even love folks from Texas. We went to their 75th anniversary, wedding anniversary, and Mr. Ingram was suffering from dementia at that time. He was in his mid-90s. Do the math, he had to be. He was a World War II Navy man, and he married his bride while he was in the service. But the day of his anniversary, he was spry and awake and aware of what was going on and had a delightful day. Went home and in a couple weeks went to heaven. He got there today. Because you see, everyone goes to heaven today because there is no tomorrow nor night. His wife lived a little longer. Now she's in heaven with him. I'm fully persuaded, although I'm envious of the Ingrams, I'm not going to be married 75 years. I made it 50-something with Janice, and I ain't even trying with Helen. What a blessing it is, though, when people can live their lives together and then go to heaven together or shortly apart. But we don't have any control over that kind of stuff. But we can sure get envious, can't we? We can get envious over families. Well, their family is close, and they have children and they're called Pawpaw, and that's a good title to have. Or they're called Grandma or Granny or Meemaw or whatever. Isn't that a wonderful title? Something to enjoy. And I know other folks that don't have that in their lives. And it's easy to get envious. But we don't have control over that. Those of us who have families, it's because of God's grace. And nature can hurt us. I'm sorry, envy can hurt us. The nature of envy can hurt us bad and can take even away that which we have and rob us of the enjoyment of that we have. See, envy is devilish. James 3:14-15 says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." Wow. That's some pretty strong language. Envy is treacherous because it can cause the righteous to envy evil doers. And if we're not careful, well, if we're honest, we've all struggled with that at times. Psalm 73:3 says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Church, I'm talking about Berean Baptist Church, saved, baptized members of this church, we are blessed. Amen. Because if you're a member of Berean Baptist Church, you have a family unit that cares about you and heaven in your future. Wow. We are blessed. And yet we can look out across Springfield and see wicked people who have no future and get jealous because of the material things that they may possess. Or even the health. Envy renders its victims miserable and unhappy. The elder brother was envious of the prodigal son in Luke 15. That's crazy. He had been at home, sleeping in his own bed, eating good food, and his brother had been in the hog pen, and he was envious. Because his brother got a new suit and a party. Did it make him happy? No. Envy does not make us happy. It robs us of that happy. Envy causes discomfort at the advantages and advances and good fortunes of others. Sometimes in my life, I got it right a time or two. And that's the ones I like to talk about, you know. I was a fairly new member of a church and went on visitation, and the pastor asked me to go with him to visitation. And we got in his car, and he had a new car. It was a new Buick. It was just a LeSabre. It was the lower line of the Buick, but I said, "Wow, nice car, preacher." And he began to make excuses of how bad the shape the other one was in. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm glad you've got a new car. I wish it was a deuce and a quarter. That means an Electra 225, fancier Buick than the one he had. And I was thankful that I could be happy that the preacher got a nice car. There's nothing wrong when our pastor gets material blessings, folks. It ought to make you happy. And me. And it ought to make us happy when our families get blessings. And our friends get blessings. And even folks we don't like very well get blessings. Because when we get envious, it costs us, not them. Envy is likened to cancer of the bone. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Bone cancer is a horrible thing. So is envy. Envy is classified as being worse than wrath and anger. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Can you see where we're at when we let ourselves get into that? I'm going to just read several scriptures here. I have it labeled as the associates of envies. Let's see the crowd envy runs with. You know, you can tell a lot by things with what they run with. Amen? Okay. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Galatians 5:19-21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not of God to be a jealous, envious person. It's wicked. It's wrong. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. 1 Timothy 6:4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also are sometimes foolish. I'm sorry, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Romans 1:29-32, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I believe I've read enough scripture that we can even get an estimation of the blackness of envy in the eyes of God. It's a wicked thing. Many wouldn't dare to be involved in a lot of the sins that I've mentioned here, and praise God for that. Yet, we can be guilty of envy. God help us. You know, this world's in a mess. And a lot of it is because of envy. Because of envy, Cain slew Abel. Because of envy, the Philistines stopped up Isaac's wells, I mentioned earlier. Genesis 26. Because of envy, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Genesis 37. Because of envy, men crucified our Lord. Matthew 27, 18. Because of envy, the apostles were cast into prison and otherwise persecuted. Acts 5, 17. When we begin to turn ourselves over to envy, let it control our lives, folks, we're on dangerous ground. It's a horrible thing that we should be terribly ashamed of, not making excuses for. And when we see envy at work in the world, we need to make it a real matter of prayer and say, "Oh God, deliver me." Members of the church can be envious one of another. How come Brother Alexander gets to lead singing and can sing? I've never trusted preachers that can sing well. No, I do too. That Brother Metzinger, Kevin's son, I forget his first name, Jeremiah. We were at Brother Kevin's church at a preacher's meeting. And he got up and sang, and man, he can sing. And I said to whoever I was with, "Well, maybe," and I knew he was getting ready to preach. I said, "Well, maybe he can't preach." Wrong. Now, I can say that lightheartedly, but God forbid when I say, "Well, he was just blah, 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 blah." And we start getting envious and try to bring other people down because God has been able to entrust them with more talent than He was able to trust us with.
Amen.
God help us. Preachers can be envious one of another. Congregations as a whole can get envious of another congregation. Well, if we had some rich people in our church, we could be rich too. Well, what about if you just do what God wants you to do and not worry about the other congregations? Because you see, when God points out all these wicked, how wicked envy is, He doesn't say, "But it'll be all right. I can look over that." No, He gets upset. God prohibits envy in the hearts of His children. 1 Peter 2:1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Quit it. Lay it aside. Be done with it. Galatians 5:26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Romans 13:13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envyings." There's again some bad things, things that we wouldn't put up with in church for 1 minute, and yet envy is right in there with it. (Clears throat) Romans 1:32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Galatians 5:21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, we're in danger of hell when we give ourselves over there. You need to check your salvation if you're the type of person that's jealous and envious all the time. It is not a spiritual attribute. It is not. Well, what's the remedy then? What's the remedy for envy? How can we overcome it? Preacher, I've got it in me. Well, join the crowd. But we can do something about it. Romans 13. Turn with me there. Romans 13:13. I read you enough scriptures to show you the badness of it. Let's see if we can figure out now how to get rid of it. Amen. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, most of the time in my life, I have used that verse 14 to deal with fleshly lust. But I think it's more emotional than it is fleshly. This strife and envy causing trouble. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if when you stand before God, He brings up a list of people that you have caused trouble with because you were jealous of them, because you envied them? It's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to sow discord among the brethren. That's 90% of the time because of envy, jealousy. What a horrible thing. Don't let it happen in you. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're here and you're really struggling with this and you've got that old anger and envy and jealousy built up in you and you just can't seem to get rid of it, what you need to do is get on your face before God, repent of your sin, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your hell-deserved soul. You need to be born again. You got to get saved. Then God can help you with that. Envy is overcome by salvation. Envy is overcome by love. Envy is born in hate, but overcome by love. How many of you get really, really, really jealous if your kids prosper? Sounds silly even to say it, doesn't it? Why? Because we love them. If you truly love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have the same reaction. Well, what if I don't? Get your heart right. Repent before God. Say, God, I'm wrong. You're right. Please forgive me and give me a greater love. And you know the best way to develop that love? Go out and do not something nice for them. Amen. Young preacher in our church was having a struggle with a fella. He was wanting to go to Fifth City with him. He says, what should I do? I said, buy him lunch. Go visit with him. Well, he's just a grouchy. He doesn't even take care of his yard. Well, then go mow it for him. Do something nice. Start loving on folks, and guess what will happen? That love will grow in you. In you. Grow up. Guess what? We are not all created equal. The government may say it, but the Bible never did. And there are some people that are going to have easier times in this life than other people. Some people are going to make more money than other people. Some people are smarter than the rest of us. Some people are prettier than... I don't want to get envious. We are not all equal, but we can, and we are all blessed, and we can all go to heaven by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ought to make us happy. Amen. And glad to be in the situation that we're in. I've given up on some things in this life. Like I said at the beginning of the message, I don't want to live to experience the 75th anniversary, wedding anniversary. I've already given up on dying young. It's not going to happen. I probably am not going to file to run for president this election. Just don't think it's going to happen. But it's okay. God's good to me. And when this life is over, I get to go to heaven. Amen. Be with Him and all those I love. And what I want most of all tonight is this group of people I'm looking at. I want all of us to go there too. And if you get saved tonight, don't think anyone's going to be envious of you. We're going to rejoice and say, I'm so glad they got it worked out. I'm so glad they got it straight. We need to be more mature in our relationships with other Christians. I read there in 1 Corinthians 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. When you walk in this church, do you have feelers stuck out, big old chips on your shoulders? They better not speak to me. Then you walk out and say, well, they didn't even speak to me. You know, there's people who come to church like that way too often. One of the few things I learned in high school English is a little poem. It says this: she's mad at me, there's no doubt. She drew a circle and left me out. But love and I had a will to win. We drew a circle and took her in. A guy went to high school with Stanley. There was a mean teacher. Rightly so. She had been teaching about 100 years or more. And she had earned the right to be mean. And she got so angry at Stanley. She's just quivering. He said, get out of here. Get out of my... Get out. He just went up to her and hugged her and started tickling her in the ribs and said, I'm not going to turn you loose till you quit being mad at me. She finally went to laughing and then kicked him out. But you know, we can put up more effort at being loved and being loving and less envious. And the more effort we put in not being that way, the less apt it's going to trouble us. You see, we are members of the same body. We're in this together, folks. My right arm doesn't get upset with my left arm because it's stronger than the right one is. As a matter of fact, it likes to say, you do it because you're stronger than me. Hey, it's wonderful when we see members in our church grow and mature and excel and able to take on more of a load because God's blessing them. That's a wonderful thing. We shouldn't be envious in the body of Christ. We need to be content. Content. Since envy is discontent over the advantages and well-beings of others, to overcome this heart ailment, one must be content with what he has and who he is. I'm not Pastor Ailes. I can't preach like him. I don't have the Bible knowledge he has. Certainly don't have the energy he has. But I can be faithful Melvin Williams. And I can give what God expects out of Melvin Williams. And I can be thankful that God loves Melvin Williams. And be content with that. Paul learned that. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he was in some states, folks. Shipwrecked, in prison, beaten. Content. God help us. As a matter of fact, that's what we need to do sometimes, isn't it? Is ask God for help. Sometimes it seems like when we want to be thankful, the best we can do is just be thankful that this day's finally over. But be content in it. Thankful to God for it. And we need to have that attitude about envy. God, please help me to overcome envy in my heart and in my life. James 4, 5 and 6 says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. My friend, if we're willing to just tell God, Lord, I want to be a loving person. I don't want to be a backbiting, spiteful, envious person. Lord, I want to love you and I want to love your people. But I need your help. Will you forgive me, Lord? Will you help me? Will you strengthen me? Then God, would you give me the courage to just love somebody? Show that I care about them? Extend myself to them? And take the jealousy and envy out of me. Because there's no place for that in the family of God. Let's all stand. Envy is sin. To get rid of sin, you repent of it, confess it, and then refuse to let it be a part of your life. That's how you get rid of sin. That's how we're going to get rid of envy. Let's go. go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, please be with us. Need help, Lord. I need help in this area as well as other folks. Help us to be honest with you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the love you show towards us all the time. And now, dear God, cause us to love you back and to be open and honest with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, say yes to God.
Situation God brought to your mind that you need to come talk to Him about. I challenge you to do it tonight.
Preaching the word, Brother Melvin. I appreciate that. Well, he will be in the back, ready to shake hands in just a moment. But we do want to mention that we do have Golden Agers this Tuesday at 11:15. So make sure you're in your place for that. From what I understand, it'll be a Mother's Day theme, so they're looking forward to that as well. And then also the Martin wedding will be on Saturday at 10:00. They are registered at Amazon, so if you have any questions, you can reach out to them. And then the last thing that we have is Vacation Bible School. There are invitations out on the information booth, so if you need to grab a few of those, we encourage you to do that. If you're going to take them, make sure you give them away, okay? So we can order more, but we only have so many right now, and so if you're going to take them, make sure you pass them out, and so we can use them. And then May 25th, we will have visitation, and that will be like 99% of just blitzing, trying to get as many VBS flyers out as we can. But Vacation Bible School will be headed up, preached by Brother Josh Crumpton. I'm looking forward to that. And that'll be June 3rd through the 7th. So if you have any questions about that, you can find myself or Brother Dawson, and we'll do our best to get those questions answered. If there's nothing else tonight, we will be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother John Stever, do you mind to pray for us tonight?